have you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16 with me. I'll speak in Yankee mode. Y'all listen fast, I'll speak fast. 1 Corinthians 16:8. Christ was born at the time of the Roman census. We know that from the Gospels. We had a census back in 2010. 6 years ago, the population of the United States was over 300 million people. Back in 1900, there were 20 cities in the world that had a population of 1 million or more. Today, there's an estimated 550 cities with a population over a million. Most of those cities find room for people. They find room for business. They find room for industry. But there's still that age-old problem, as there was when Christ was born, that there's no room for Him in the end. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 8, the Scripture says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." And then he explains that he tried to get Apollos to come, but there was not a convenient season for him to do so. These folks were asked to make room for Timothy. They would have been asked to make room for Apollos. Bethlehem was asked to make room for Jesus, but there was no room in the inn for Him. Those of us who believe have found room for Him in our hearts, but yet much of the world still has no room for the Lord. They have no room for Christianity. They have no room for the Bible and for what we believe. When I came to the city of Fort Mill 36 years ago and began search for a building to rent to start the church, the city of Fort Mill had a population of 4,000 people. And it was predominantly a mill village for cotton mill industry with housing that had been provided by the cotton mill, and then a couple of suburbs that had broken up, had sprung up because of Charlotte, South Carolina's taxes being lower, so people moved to Fort Mill, and if they could get the water and the sewer, they would build housing developments. There was about 4,000 in the city of Fort Mill and 4,000 in the immediate surrounding area around it. It was only 2 square miles big. And as all of you know, people have continued to move here and at a more escalated pace in the last 10 years. When the census was taken in 2010, they said the city of Fort Mill has 15,000 people. And there's that many more in the immediate surrounding area. So it has increased 4 times. From what it was 36 years ago. There is a great door and effectual open unto us, and there are many adversaries. We have a great opportunity here for Christ to reach people with the gospel, to build a church that does things in the right way, to have a powerful work, which is what the effectual means, a powerful working of God. Because if you help people to get saved, it takes the power of God to do that. For people to yield their lives unto the Lord and live for God and serve God is an effectual working. But there are many adversaries. First of all, opportunity has continued to grow here in our area as it has in many places in the world. More and more folks move here. Our county has grown to over 250,000 in York County. York County is a wide county. It's a long distance from western North Carolina beyond York toward Kings Mountain and Clover and all the way over to where Lancaster County starts outside Fort Mill. It's quite a distance of area is covered. Normally, people don't drive from one extreme of the county to the other extreme of the county to attend a church because usually they can find another church in a closer area. And so how many of the people of the county are available for us to reach is a much lower number. City of Rock Hill has grown from 40,000 to 75,000. And that was six years ago. As we've all seen, apartments and housing is being built everywhere. The public schools are advertised around the nation by real estate agents who work this area as being the top public schools where they'd want their children to go to school. And this draws many people when they move to the Charlotte region to move to seek to put their kids into Fort Mill School District because of that. The only real thing Fort Mill has going for it over any other public schools anywhere else is that the Springs Industries for many years would kick in a stipend if any teacher graduated with a BA degree and began to teach. If they would go back to school in the summertime and finish a master's degree, Springs Industry would pay for their courses. They had to pass them with at least a C and pay for them themselves, and then Springs would reimburse them. So almost all of the public school teachers in Fort Mill have a master's degree. And so that elevated their education a little bit. But it is a public school that is run like most public schools in most towns. There's lower property tax in Fort Mill and Rock Hill than there is in Charlotte, but Fort Mill has climbed because they've added user fees and all that sort of thing. When somebody buys a piece of land now, there's an automatic $2,000 tax that's added to the cost of that land for school tax and things of that nature. And they're starting to prohibit growth because they don't have the funds to build another high school, and they're trying to build all this area that was the baseball stadium. They want to put hotels and business and housing developments there, and the Fort Mill School District is resisting them putting the housing developments because it might add as many as 300 new students to the school at one time, and they don't believe they could handle that much growth that quickly. Business has grown in the area, providing jobs that has brought many people here from other places that are depressed. That's going to increase because with the cost of oil dropping to an all-time low, somebody put on Facebook the other day, you can get a barrel of oil cheaper than a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken right now. And it won't stay that way, but this has hurt the fracking industry and the oil industry that produces oil from the United States. And so many of those companies are going out of business temporarily, they're laying off, and there's going to be more people looking for jobs and moving to areas where there are jobs. Our weather is much nicer than the severe climates in other places. We don't have earthquakes like California. We don't have 35-inch snows like New York. We don't have tornadoes and hurricanes like the coastal areas. So, and we have four seasons. So many people move here because the extreme weather is not here and because the terrible temperatures and cost associated with heating or cooling are not here. It's a much more moderate climate. Some people, not many, I wish a lot more, move here because this is the Bible Belt. Amen. And they'd rather be in a place that teaches morals and preaches truth and the gospel message. Amen. Politicians and taxes have killed many of the cities in the north and have bankrupted them, leaving people without jobs. Many folks in many places in Michigan have bought homes years ago and they couldn't sell that home for what they paid for it now under any kind of condition, and they'd have to leave the home without, you know, getting back what they invested and go somewhere and start over, or just try to stay there and tough it out. And many cities are having that problem. Many people will leave for better jobs, a better culture, and go into different areas. Well, that creates a great opportunity. Paul saw a great opportunity. He wrote to them at Corinth. He was in Ephesus. He said, I will tarry here until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We have a great and effectual door opened unto us here, and surely there are adversaries also. Great opportunity all around. We have to reach out to the new people that are moving in. The opportunity of an open door has a limited time frame. We don't know how limited it may be. It is limited to when the Lord comes. It is limited to our age and health. It is limited to the job circumstance and the stock market and all of those kind of things have a part of that window of opportunity that's open to us. But right now, while we have the open door, we We need to see it as a great opportunity to reach people for Christ and to give them the gospel. Jesus said in 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He knew when He established a public ministry that He only had about 3.5 years. And He would go to the cross and die there for our sins and be resurrected from the dead, appear for 40 days, and then ascend back into heaven with the Father. He understood completely the time frame. He knew definitely how much time He had. You and I don't know how much time we have. We know our time is limited, and we know that Jesus could come at any time. And so our opportunity brings with it a great responsibility. Jesus knew His disciples would carry on His ministry after He was gone. Many factors contribute. Simple truth is that people who will look for a church new moving into our area will usually within the first month or two become a part of a local church in this area. They may never visit us. Unless you meet them or I meet them and we invite them to church here, it's a great probability they move here to this area, they seek out a church on their own, and they may never come and visit with us. We may never have an opportunity to reach. Many will stay within the denominational guidelines where they have come from. Whatever they were a part of in another state or another town, when they move here, they'll search out a church that's like that also. And we might not meet those people. If you look in the obituary column, you'll find that there are 8 to 10 people every day that die in the Herald newspaper in York County. There's a limited time. Many of those people who move here with job circumstance like they are will only be here 2 to 5 years and then they'll be moved somewhere else. We had 2 great families we loved dearly that came here with John Deere, and they were here just a short time, and John Deere closed the Charlotte office and moved them up to Raleigh to Cary, North Carolina, in that area up there. And they had to move away. Our society is changing, and many unsaved people won't come to church on their own. They won't seek out a church. Some of you came to this area, you got on the internet, you looked up Baptist Church, you found Bible Baptist, you came and visited, and by God's grace, you've stayed here. And that happens. That's where the most of our visitation comes from today. Is not from us inviting people to come, it's from people who move here and look on the internet, find this church in the early part of the search engine, and they seek out Bible Baptist, they come here. Something like that name, Bible Baptist. Well, thank you very much, I chose that name. And some might not come because of that name. It tells too much what we are, you know. Our society is constantly changing. It's harder and harder to get lost people to come to church. Jesus taught in several passages, the field is white unto harvest, and the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. People to go out and bring them in. The time of the harvest is now. You'd reason that people get older and closer to death, they ought to be thinking more about their destiny. They ought to be thinking more about eternity. But the truth of the matter is, as people get older, if they have rejected God, their hearts get harder and harder. And they get more difficult to reach instead of being easier to reach. If they have chosen sin over God, God may turn them over to their sin. And it would be very difficult for you or I to try to reach them. Jesus taught His kingdom is like a great wedding feast that many were given invitations and they sent excuses on why they couldn't come. And I'm sure any of you that have been active in evangelism or inviting people to church know that people can give you all kinds of excuses. There's every reason in the sun, under the sun, why they can't come to church. But He said to those that were rejected, that they rejected His invitation, they would be rejected. And He sent His servants into the highways and the hedges to compel men to come into His house that it might be full. You see the emphasis there. He was dealing with Israel and their rejection, but the emphasis there is that we're to go out and reach the lost. The lost are out there. There's plenty of sinners. There's just not enough laborers to reach them. We need to go out and compel people to come into the house of God that it might be full. God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to bear much fruit. God wants us to sow the seed in a broadcast way, not plant little in it. Some of you have ever done gardening, you just bought a little pack of seeds at the Walmart store or the service center, and you got 35 seeds in there, and you planted a little box garden, you know, or a raised garden or something like that, and you planted a seed. That's not how you sow the gospel. You sow the gospel like you sow in your yard. You scatter it. You broadcast it. Thousands and thousands of seeds. It falls on all kinds of ground. And we got to keep spreading the gospel. And some of it will fall on good ground and it'll bear fruit. Now I urge you, as Brother Bob mentioned tonight, to be a part of this training for Bible study. The training itself will be good for you if you never use it to teach another person in a Bible study. It'll be good for you in grounding and maturing as a believer. But it'll be even better if you'll get involved in this outreach opportunity to reach people and enroll them in a Bible study. And then instead of you sitting here tonight having to listen to me for 36 years, you could take an individual or a couple or a family into a private room and do a Bible study with them where you've been trained to then train them about how to be saved and what the Bible teaches and all that they need to know. You can't hardly get them to go to church, but you might can get them to enroll in a 9-week Bible study. And that will be a great opportunity that we have not tried. There's a great door, an effectual door, powerful door. But there are many adversaries. The adversaries of the world, the flesh, and the devil are always going to be there. That hadn't changed. The devil's an adversary. Flesh is an adversary. The world, there's so many things people be involved with in the world today. So many distractions, so many things that draw our attention. There are cults, and some of the TV ministers and TV entertainment and liberal churches and all these things that are enemies to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they don't teach how to be saved truthfully, then they're an enemy of the cross of Christ. Islam, worldwide, is an adversary to Christianity. The government is often an adversary to Bible-believing Christianity. Politicians the other day played a clip of Ted Cruz, who's running for president. Ted Cruz said Trump has New York values. There's a clip of Trump some years ago saying, "I have New York values." But that offended some people. And they tried to find fault with Ted Cruz for saying that. So Ted Cruz said, "I will apologize on television." So he apologized for saying Trump had New York values. He said, "What I apologize for is I apologize to the good, hardworking people of New York because they have a governor who won't let them go to work in fracking and has unions running the country instead of the workers, and they don't get good paying jobs like they got in Pennsylvania." He said, "I apologize because of their mayor, de Blasio, who has sided with criminals and looters instead of the police departments and fire departments, so much so that the policemen turned their back on Mayor de Blasio when he stood up to give his speech." He said, "I apologize for Governor Cuomo, who said these conservatives who are pro-gun, anti-gay, and anti-abortion have no place in New York." I said, "Wait a minute, that's me. I'm certainly not pro-gay, and I'm not pro-abortion, and I am pro-gun. I got a few of them. So I have no place in New York." "Thank you, Governor. I wasn't intending on going there anyway." And the liberal Supreme Court today is getting stacked to the point that they now have a liberal majority that will begin to vote against many things. They did so with the gay rights movement. and they're going to continue to bring up more things and more things and more things until they try to do away with the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and turn the country into where the Constitution is nothing more than, as they call it all the time, a living, breathing document that should be changed all the time, just like people change. I remember 36 years ago a chapel speaker who started a church in downtown New York who was at Bible college to speak. He said, "We don't have an evening service and we don't have any evening visitation." He said, "My son and I go out and try to visit people," but he said the ladies would not be safe in downtown New York going out in the evening to try to do visitation. That was 36 years ago. That's true. Number three, we've got to prepare for the open door and prepare for the adversary. Personal recommitment of ourselves to get prepared. Make sure our devotional time and our dedication to evangelize and church services are where they need to be. A demonstration of a testimony, that we have a testimony above reproach. We're not perfect people. We make plenty of mistakes. But we need to have a testimony that is living for God and serving God. We need to distance ourselves from distractions and hindering things and lay aside the weights and the sins that easily beset us. Run with patience the race set before us. It means we must demand more of ourselves. We've got to give God the first day of the week. That's Sunday, and that's what you folks have done today. We ought to give Him the first of our day when we rise up in the morning with a time of prayer and a time of reading the Word. We need to give Him the first place in our heart, and we need to give Him the first priority of our talents and our treasures. God has given us the opportunity and the abilities that we have to have the responsibility for this great open door that He has given us. And we need to see that we have a responsibility in this. If we don't do the job, I pray God will raise up somebody who will. This church has the opportunity. We either do the job or God will raise up another church in town that will evangelize the community and will spread the gospel and will win souls and will live for God. We'll support missions and do the things that we need to be doing. We've got a good start. We've made a lot of preparation. And many are active and involved and ready for this to take place. I encourage us all as a church to pray and seek the face of God. Look at the opportunity all around us and be willing to be a part of the solution. Let's stand together. Father, we love You and we thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight. As it was at Ephesus, Paul wrote to Corinth, "There is a great door and effectual open unto us, and there are many adversaries." Lord, protect us from the adversaries. Guide us in what we should do and the people to witness to and the opportunities that we have. We pray that You'll help us to reach people. I know we're not going to reach the world, Lord, and I know we're not going to reach all of Fort Mill, Rock Hill, all of York County, or anything of that nature. But that each of us would reach someone and get them enrolled in a Bible study. And after 8 or 9 weeks, see if they know for sure they're saved and become baptized a part of the church or join the church if they are like believers. And we can reproduce that. Lord, if 100 people would just reach one every year, we could grow by that many every year. In a few years, the church could be starting mission churches in other places. So we ask for Your help. We pray for Your people to be stirred. Help us all to give You praise and thanks and adoration in Jesus' name. Amen.